الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله تعالى من هذه الأيام يعني أيام العشر قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله ثم لم يرجع من ذلك بشيء أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, It is an inherent, integral, inseparable part of our iman. And with that iman, the love which we have for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will cause an increase in the anticipation in the heart of every Muslim as the days of that pinnacle of the Islamic calendar draws nearer and nearer. The fulfillment of the fifth pillar of Islam, that is the days of Hajj, the days of Arafat, the days of Mina. Whilst we are well aware that it is inconceivable, nor is it practical that every year every Muslim goes and performs Hajj. But whether the Hajis themselves or those who are thousands of miles away from Baytullah, as this period draws nearer, this iman, this love which we have for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam causes an increase in the anticipation in our hearts. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, one of the signs of Qiyamah which we find inference in Quran and Hadith is that when it comes to the acts of ibadat, when it comes to the basic pillars of Islam also, the haqaiq, the reality of these a'mal will gradually come out of the ummah. And once the haqaiq, once the reality has come out, the essence, the ruh, the soul of these a'mal have come out, then with that, the benefit of that amal also will come out. Example, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ That salah, if it is salah, Salah, if it is salah, will cause fahsha and munkar, that is shamelessness and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gradually come out of the life of the musalli. And nowadays we find person is 5 times musalli, yet the shamelessness is still going on. The disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still going on. In other words, his salah is not bringing about any change in his life. Why? Because the salah, its haqiqat, its reality, its essence, its ruh, its soul has come out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يُصَلُّونَ وَلَا يُصَلُّونَ He said, a time will come upon my ummah, people will be making salah, up, down, going into sajda, the actions will be there. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? لا يُصَلُّونَ That which they are performing is not salah in the court of Allah. Likewise with Hajj also, he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّ وَأُسَاتُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ وَقُرَّاؤُهُمْ لِلرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ وَفُقَرَاؤُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ He said, with Hajj also, the rich people, Hajj will become a holiday. The middle classes, it will become a commercial enterprise. For the poor people, it will become a begging exercise. For even the ulama and those who have the knowledge of deen, it will become a showpiece. What is the inference in the hadith? The haqiqat, the reality of these amal will have come out of the ummah. When we take this term, when we speak of Hajj, what does the mind visualize? We see Baytullah in front of us. When we speak of Hajj, as the days of Zulhijjah start, it's the 5 days of Hajj, majority of the time of the Hujjaj Baytullah is spent in Mina, spent in Arafat, spent in Muzdalifah. Now this much at least, every Muslim, everyone who claims to have ishq and muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to visualize in his mind's eye, turn the clock back 14 centuries. Visualize what was Ka'batullah at that time. What was Mina at that time? I remember in 1988, first time we went for Hajj. We were staying in a hotel that was directly above the Haram where Hilton Towers is presently, for those who have been. That time it was some other hotel. The night before Hajj, we looked out of the room, we were on the 9th floor. It was impossible to even go for Isha Salah in the Haram. If you looked out of the room, there was a sea of human beings. There was no space to even step out of the hotel. Such a big crowd it was. At that time, one of our Asatiza Ikram was with us. Allah give him long life. As we stood at the window and looked down at the sea of humanity, he said to us something. 25 years almost have passed, yet I cannot forget what he said. He said, turn your mind's eye back 14 centuries. And think of that time when to the same Baytullah there was one solitary person. One solitary person he would leave at the time of Tahajjud, the streets of Makkah were dark. The people beforehand knew his practice, so they would sprinkle thorns on his road to the Haram, so that by the time he reached the Haram, his Mubarak feet would be full with blood. When he would perform Salah in the Haram alone, they would take the insides, the intestines of camels, and put it on his back whilst he was in Salah. On one occasion they came with a chadar, with a cloak, and they wrapped it around his neck, and they tried to suffocate him whilst he was in Salah. His every day, he would be a target of persecution, of suffering. Today you see a sea of humanity, with afat, with rahat, with afiat, with ease, has come to the same Baytullah. He says, visualize in your mind's eye, consider the mountain of qurbani, the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of hardship that had to be given starting from that personality sallallahu alayhi wasallam throughout the ages for you to see this manzar and scene that you are seeing today. Do we consider that? When we think of Mina, Hajj wasn't only Hajjatul Wada. Hajj wasn't only the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nubuwat started, the effort of Hajj started. 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama. During these days, what would my Nabi do? 10 to 10, person to person. One youngster says, I stood on the mountain of Abu Qubais, and I looked down at Mina and I saw this person. He was going person to person. May yuwini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who is there that will shelter me? Who is there that will become my nasir, my helper? Hatta uballigha risalata rabbi, so that I can make tabligh, so that I can convey this message from my Allah. That command of the Quran, which Allah had given, Ya ayyuhar Rasul, Balligh ma unzila ilayka min Rabbik, O my Rasul, O my Messenger, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in inference, the entire ummah is commanded, Balligh ma unzila ilayka min Rabbik, make tabligh of this deen. Wa illam taf'al, fama ballaghta risalata. Look at the wa'id of Quran, look at the tone of Quran. Mahbub Tareen Zat, the most beloved of Allah's creation, yet what does Allah say to him? If you don't convey this message, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةَ, you have not fulfilled the haqq of your risalat. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. What does Allah say? O my Nabi, when you will make tabligh of this deen, when your ummat will make tabligh of this deen, tabligh, with it will carry persecution, hardship, difficulty, the whole world will turn against you. But as long as you are fulfilling the haqq of tabligh, wallahu ya'simuka minan nas, Allah will protect you. Ismat, the guarantee of Allah's protection, is linked to this ummah fulfilling its responsibility of da'wat and tabligh. Coming back to this incident, may yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta ubaligha risalata rabbi. Who is there that will shelter me? Who is going to become my helper for me to convey this risalat, for me to convey this deen, for me to fulfill the haqq of tabligh? What was the reaction? فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَى عَلَيْهِ التُّرَابِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّ عَلَى وَجْهِ. Some of them spat in his face. Some of them picked up sand and flung it at him. Some of them swore at him. They insulted him. They beat him mercilessly. حَتَّى انْتَصَفَ النَّهَارِ, until the sun had reached its zenith. He sat down in exhaustion. In the riwayat it comes, a young girl, young child runs towards him, sobbing and crying. She sees the distress of her father. There's nothing much she can do. What does she do? Little bit that she can do. She takes a handkerchief out of her pocket and she starts wiping the face of her father, sobbing and crying. He cuddles her, he embraces her, and he says, La takhshay ala abikil ghayla. Do not fear. Allah will not disgrace your father. This youngster turns to his father. He says, who is this person? His father says, it is Muhammad bin Abdullah. It is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is the young girl? Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. One occasion he goes to the Banu Hanifa tribe in Mina. Read seerah. Read the history of Islam. Read the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To say, I am Ashik e Rasul, my respected brothers, is very easy. Empty lip service is easy. What was his life? What was his qurbani? What was his sacrifice? What was the dard and the pain in his heart? What didn't he undergo for the sake of this ummah? He goes to the Banu Hanifa tribe, they pick up rocks, start flinging at him. What was his guna? What was his crime? Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be saved from Jahannam. They fling rocks at him. He's forced to run. He takes refuge with the Banu Amr bin Sasa tribe. Delivers the message to them also. What do they say to him? They say, our leader Buhayra is not here. We cannot give you a response till we consult with him. Wait here. They give him a little bit shelter. Give him a little bit food. What happens? The spark of hope enters the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that perhaps these people will accept my message. Perhaps these people will become my helpers in conveying this message from Allah. That hope is there. He's happy. Buhayra comes. They say to him, this is the Qurayshi youngster who says that he is the last Rasul of Allah. Buhayra turns with arrogance towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, if my people had not given you shelter, then instead of my tongue, I would have spoken with my sword to you. There is no one in the entire Mina that is more hated in my eyes than you. Dejected, sadly. Why? Because he had hoped that these people will get hidayat. Allah's Rasul mounts his camel, and as he is leaving, Buhayra does not leave it at that. He takes a spear, pokes the flank of the camel. The camel jerks. And what is the natural consequence of that? Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Tajadare Madina, Sarware Kainat. That personality which Quran does not get tired of praising is flung from the camel, falls onto the dust of Mina. His face is full of dust, his body is full of dust. Around him are the pealing, ringing sound of the laughter of the kuffar. To see the manner in which Buhayra has disgraced him. Which face is filled with dust? Which face? Which face? That face which Quran takes qasam upon. Wadduha, according to the tafsir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimullah. What is the tafsir of this? Wadduha, tere roshan chehre ki qasam. By the qasam and the oath of your shining face. Walayli idha saja. By the qasam and the oath of your zulfa. Today that face is full of dust. Which face? Which face? Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu ta'ala who says, Kuntu fi laylati adhiyan. It was a 14 full moon night. I was sitting in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head was in my lap. He had on a cloak which had red stripes on it. He says, I looked at the 14 full moon. I looked at the face of my Nabi. I looked at the moon. I looked at the face of my Nabi. By the qasam of my Allah, the noor and effulgence and beauty of the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more than the moon. Aisha Ummul Mumineen radiallahu anha. She says, I was cleaning vegetables. It became dark. It became dark. Madina Munawwara was known for its heat. We were perspiring. Beads of perspiration were falling down, trickling down the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the darkness, she looked up. She could not believe the beauty. She could not imagine the beauty of even the beads of perspiration that were rolling down his forehead. It lit up the darkness. She was staring transfixed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking down. He wasn't aware of what is going on. He realizes that Aisha has stopped cleaning vegetables. He looks up and he sees the utter astonishment on the face of Aisha. Her mouth is open. She's staring transfixed. Aisha, what has happened? Ya Humaira, this was the affectionate term he would use for her. What has happened? She says, only today I have understood the expression of Abul Kabira Huzali. Aisha radiallahu anha was a very intelligent woman. Allah had given her great intelligence. She was even a poetess. She refers to a poet of the days of Jahiliyyah. In his Shairi Kalam, in his poetic expression, he describes his Ashik, his Mashuqa. He describes the beauty of her face. With a pitch black night, there is an electric storm. The bolts of lightning move across the horizon. Words cannot be used to describe the beauty of such a night. His expression was, وَإِذَا نَذَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أَسِرَّةِ وَجِهِ بَرِقَتْ كَبَرْقِ الْعَارِضِ الْمُتَهَلِّلِ. She says, oh my Nabi, Abul Kabira Huzali, referring to his mashuka, he was speaking lies. Today I've understood the beauty of his expression, what he said when I've looked at your Mubarak face. Such a face, such a face. When he was a newborn baby, there was a Jew in Medina. The night he was born, the next morning, this Jew used to sell his wares in Makkah, sorry. He's shouting, running around like a madman. Was any child born last night? Was any child born last night? People say to him, yes, a male child was born. Is his father alive? Yes. I'm not referring to that child. Tell me, was there a child born last night whose father is not alive? They say, yes, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib was born. He says, take me to him. One, not even a day old, not even a few hours old. When this Jew looks at the face of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this newborn baby, besakhta, involuntarily, the words come on his lips, وَيْلٌ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ لَقَدْ خَرَجَتِ النُّبُوَّةُ مِنْهَا وَرُحْتُمْ بِهَا يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْتُوَنَّ بِكُمْ سَتْوَةً يَظْهَرُ أَمْرُهَا فِي الشَّرْقِ وَالْغَرْبِ. He says, halakat, destruction to the Bani Israel, to the Jews. Nubuwat has left you forever. Mubarak to you, O Quraysh. Then he looks at this newborn baby, points to his Mubarak face, and he says, the noor of this child will light up the entire universe. Ulama say amongst the myriad mu'jizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his Mubarak face. That anyone who would sachai would look at his face, the yaqeen would enter the heart that this was the Nabi of Allah, Abdullah bin Salam, a Jew, alim of the Jews. He was in Medina Munawwara. He says, I heard the Qurayshi youngster who says that he is the Nabi of Allah has come. It was his first khutbah. I'm cutting the incident short. Abdullah bin Salam says, my curiosity was piqued. Irtajjan nasu ilay, the whole of Medina went for the first khutbah. He says, I also went. As I walked closer, finally I saw his face. Falamma nazartu ila wajhihi. When I looked at his Mubarak face, tabayyantu, mere dil ne yaqeen kar liya, this conviction entered my heart, anna wajhahu laysa bi wajhi kadhab, that this is not the face of a liar, this is the face of a Nabi of Allah. In Mina, that same Mubarak face, Allah tolerated that it is full of dust. That hair is full of dust. The kuffar are laughing at him. Yet not one word of baddua. Not one word of curse enters his mouth. It doesn't even enter his heart. In his heart is what? This dard, this cry. Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allah give hidayah to these people because they don't know what they are doing. This was Mina. This was Mina. Occasion of Jummah is impossible, my respected brothers, to discuss the tariq and seerah of incident upon incident of what the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the days of Hajj, 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, and then in Hajjatul Wada underwent. But have we become a blind ummah? Have we become an oblivious ummah? Have we become an ummah whose hearts are dead? Have we become an ummah whose hearts are full of stones? Or is there a heart that is beating with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam within our chest? Is there a heart that has some affinity with what his Mina was? Allah has not kept the fadail of Hajj only for those who go for Hajj. This is a universal ibadat. Allah Ta'ala, these days that are coming, the days of Zulhijjah, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam on them in the Quran, the verses which I recited in the beginning. Allah says, wal fajr, by the qasam of the dawn. Mufassirin say it is not any dawn. Allah is taking qasam of the dawn of the 10th of Zulhijjah. Wal fajr, walayalin ashar, by the qasam of the 10 nights. Which 10 nights? The 10 nights of Zulhijjah, of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, according to one interpretation, وَالشَّفْعِ refers to the 10th of Zulhijjah, وَالْوَتْرِ refers to the 9th of Zulhijjah. These are days that are coming, which not only for the Hajis, but the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala takes qasam on these days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله تعالى من هذه الأيام. He said, O my ummah, there are no days, there are no days. Listen to the literal translation of this hadith. He said, there are no days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than these 10 days. In one hadith it comes, he said, يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِصِيَامِ سَنَى وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. He said the fast of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, obviously it does not include the fasting of the 10th, because to fast on the day of Eid is haram. But the first 9 days of Zulhijjah, he said each day's roza is equivalent to fasting for 1 year. The ibadat, standing up in the night, not only for the Hajis, but the entire ummah, because Allah wants the whole ummah universally to link themselves to this amal of Hajj. The Haji has tied the ihram, you tied the ihram of roza. For each day, Allah will give you 1 year's fasting reward. The fast of the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, last year, 1 year past, and 1 year future. 2 years sins Allah will wipe away for those who will fast on the day of Arafat. وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. He said those who will stand in ibadat on these nights, each night Allah will give him the reward as if he stood in ibadat on the night of Qadr. Laylatul Qadr reward for each of these nights. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala used to say, referring to the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, بِكُلِّ يَوْمْ أَلْفْ يَوْمْ, is to say every of these days, ibadat is equal to the ibadat of 1,000 days. وَيَوْمُ عَرَفَةَ أَشْرَةُ آلَافْ أَيَامْ. The day of Arafah, he is to say, is equivalent to 10,000 days ibadat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this fazilat, mentions this virtue in front of Sahaba Ikram, my respected brothers, they become shocked. They are astonished and they blurt out a question. And it is very, very important, my respected brothers, For us to understand this question, why did they ask this question? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no amal is more superior than the ibadat of these 10 days. What do Sahaba respond? Ya Rasulullah, what are you saying to us? Is the ibadat of these 10 days even more virtuous than striving in the path of Allah? Is it more virtuous than striving in the path of Allah? Why did they ask this question? Why didn't they ask, is it more virtuous than salah? Or is it more virtuous than hajj? Or is it more virtuous than tilawat of Quran? Why this question? This question makes us understand the mizaj, the temperament, the mindset of Madinah Munawwara. And the Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made such an effort on the minds of Sahaba Kiram that each one understood that my maqsad, my object, is to take the deen of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the four corners of the world. One occasion, it is the day of Jummah like this in Madinah Munawwara. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. He says, few sahaba are sitting close to the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi. And in there, the conversation starts. Momentarily, they forget where they are. Even voices get raised. They start arguing with one another. What is the topic? One sahabi says, Ma ubali, Allah amala amalan ba'da al-Islam illa an asqil hajj. He says, Allah has blessed me with Islam, with Iman. As far as I am concerned, I'm going to devote the rest of my life to the khidmat of the hujjaj. There's nothing better than that. Another sahabi says, Ma ubali, Allah amala amalan ba'da al-Islam illa an amur al-masjid al-haram. What are you saying? What are you saying? Allah bless me with Iman. I will make Masjid al-Haram, Baytullah Abad, with ibadat for the rest of my life. That is superior to what you are saying. Third one says, no. What can be superior to striving in the path of Allah? That is the most superior thing. Umar radiallahu anhu, as their voices get raised, they get upset. فَزَجَرَهُمْ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. He scolds them. أَتَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ عِنَّ مِمَّرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Are you raising your voices in front of the member of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Lower your voices. And what is the need to argue? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will come just now after he has delivered the Jummah khutbah and salah. Go to him and ask him which is the most superior amal. Understand the veracity of this incident. Before they can pose the question, Jibreel has already come. أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَإِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Look at the tone of Quran. Quran does not say, O Sahaba Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are arguing with one another, you are discussing with one another, is making khidmat of the hujjaj, or is abadi of Masjid al-Haram superior to striving in the path of Allah? Quran does not say that. What does Quran say? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? How can you possibly consider making khidmat of hajis and abadi of Masjid al-Haram to be equal to striving in the path of Allah? La yastawuna inda Allah. These things will never be equal in Allah's sight. To striving in the path of Allah. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimeen. Allah will never give hidayah to a zalim qawm. Inference is men that those who will consider these other amal, which are definitely virtuous, to be superior than striving in the path of Allah, they are zalim in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. This is the type, this one incident illustrates for us the mizaj and temperament of Sahaba Ikram in the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Ya Rasulullah, what are you saying to us? That the zikr, the ibadat, the tilawat, the tahajjud of these days is superior to striving in the path of Allah. What is the response Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives? He says, Walal jihadu fi sabilillah. It is even more superior than striving in the path of Allah. Except one exception, that person who leaves his home and gives his life in the path of Allah, only he is superior to the amal and the ibadat that is done in these 10 days of Zulhijjah. That is why in one riwayat, Rasulullah SAW said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. What is the special ibadat of these 10 days, one is fasting, the other is tahajjud. And thirdly, what is found in this hadith, he said, excessively make zikr of subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And time is very limited. But such a discussion can never possibly be culminated except, my respected brothers, going back to the Hajjatul Wada of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that final khutbah, which I have mentioned many, many times. Cry tears of blood when you walk into a Muslim home at the time of Gush, and you sit in that sitting room, tea is brought, some dessert is brought, some sweets are brought, you look around, that shaitan box is there in front, that shaitan box is there in front, and above it is a plaque, above it is a pamphlet, on it is written, farewell sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Above that shaitan box, farewell sermon of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Deen has become a ritual. The hearts of this ummah, Allah forgive us, are not beating with the true love and ishq of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least this much. We may have went for hajj, we may have not went for hajj. Allah take us, Allah give us the opportunity, but at least identify with what his dard was, what his pain was when he delivered that akhiri khutbah. When he delivered that last universal message to his ummah, how did he begin that message? He said, "Asa Allah talqouni ba'd aami hada." He said, "Oh my ummah, after this year, you will not see me anymore." One of our akabirin, one of our elders, beautifully he explains this hadith. He says, "When I read this hadith first, I didn't understand its effect. But," he says, "I only understood it when my father, my own beloved father, was on his deathbed." He says, "When my father was breathing his last, he was gasping. He was hanging on to the last thread of his life. My father caught my hand and he gave me some wasiyat." He says, 19 years have passed. Whenever I think of that moment, tears come into my eyes. This gives us some idea of what Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying to Sahaba. "Oh my Sahaba, you will never see me after this. This is the last time." Akhiri wasiyat. It was as if he was holding onto the hand of each ummati. That what is the akhiri wasiyat? What is the final words? What are the parting advices of your Nabi to his ummati? My respected brothers, how can we not visualize these words? Each one of us during this occasion should get that khutbah. Read that khutbah. See the dard, the pain that is carried in each word of that last message from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then take the thermometer. Take the thermometer of our ishq and our muhabbat for him, that how much of that message is in our lives. And at the end of that message, what did he ask? "Hal ballaght? Have I fulfilled the haqq of tabligh?" He didn't ask, "Have I fulfilled the haqq of salah, of zakat, of hajj, of any other tenet of deen? Have I fulfilled the haqq of tabligh?" Sahaba with one voice, "Ballaght al-risala, wa adayt al-amana, wa nasakht al-umma, wa kashaft al-ghumma, wa jahadta fi sabilillahi haqq jihadi." "Ya Rasulullah, you have fulfilled the haqq of tabligh." He raises up his finger. "Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, you be a witness. Allah, you be a witness. Allah, you be a witness." And then he utters those timeless words, "فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبُ فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبُ." Oh my ummat, this zimadari, this pain, this cry, this 23 years of hunger of mine, this 23 years of persecution, keep my Mina in front of you, keep my Taif in front of you, keep my Uhud in front of you, keep my Badr in front of you, keep my Hudaybiyah in front of you, keep my nights upon nights of tying, of crying on that Musalla for you in front of you, keep the stones which I tie to my Mubarak stomach in front of you, keep my 23 years of Qurbani and sacrifice, which was for what? So that one ummati of mine can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. Ibn Kasir riwayat, "La Nabiyya Ba'di, wa La Ummata Ba'da Ummati." Oh my ummat, after me no new Nabi is to come. This zimadari, this cry, this dard of mine, not Maulana Ilyas and not any jamaat or not any group, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is handing it over to every ummati. Hajj, universally reminds this ummah of that sabak of zimedari and responsibility that we are muballigh of this deen. The da'wat and tabligh has to be in the lifeblood of every ummati of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wah alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.